Good morning, church. Welcome to worship today. It is good to have all of you here. If you're here for the first time, we extend a warm welcome, and we're glad to have you. Others, we're happy to have you here, too. Also, just a note to all of the moms out there, we say happy Mother's Day to all of you, but we also want to acknowledge that today is not always a happy day for some people, and so this day brings up lots of emotions in many different ways for different people, and so we respect that and we honor that as well, and we hold all of you in prayer on this day. Inside your bulletin, we do have a blue card, and we ask that you would fill that out, especially if any of your contact information has changed, or if you are with us for the first time today, as well as if you have any special prayers, that you would put that on the back and just place it in the offering plate at the time of the offering. Also, these red pew pads that you find at the end of each of your pews, we ask that you would pick that up and pass it along to each person, and you would sign it so you would know who's sitting next to you, the ritual of friendship. So please get that started. Also, you will note that this Friday, where is everybody going to be getting dinner? Here. You're going to stop by and get your chicken. Chicken barbecue this Friday. Please take a look at all of the information on that. And we hope that you come and support our youth at the chicken barbecue. We'd love to have you here for that. If you would join me now in the call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. In the darkest valley, in the hard work of life, in our day-to-day reality, like this time, now, with every step we take, let us worship God. Amen. What gift can we bring? What present, what token? So today is the day that we celebrate different women in our lives, in our past and in our present, in all different ways in our life and in different times in our life. People, women in particular, have come alongside of us, and we celebrate that today. And I have a poem to read to share with you as a reflection and in celebration of those particular women. And it's called "You Are Good." The universe, yet incomplete, on the sixth day, God created her, woman. And God said to her, "I shall give you a heart full of compassion, a spirit free to fly with the birds, a vessel to carry life into the world, wisdom to know great truths, courage to rise out of oppression, strength to move mountains, gentleness to kiss the earth, passion to set the world on fire, vision to respect the earth that bore you, a playful nature to dance with the children, laughter to fill the valleys, tears to wash the pain away, hands for laboring and loving, intuition to know the unknown, desire to be that which you were created to be." And God said to her, "Woman, I have created you in my image and likeness, and you are good." Amen.
Please join me in the unison prayer. Lord, we who live in a world of cities, tall buildings, one-way streets, suburbs, and gated communities, don't necessarily know what sheep are like or what sheep entails. Sometimes we feel like sheep in our world, being herded by the do's and don'ts, oughts and ought-nots, voices we don't even recognize. Sometimes the noise of the voices gets so loud, we can't even recognize our own voice. Calm and quieting our hearts, our minds, and our souls to that one small voice, yours. And in hearing your voice, we hear our own voices, that we sing your song of grace to one another. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. For even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Any of the children to come forward for the children's time. Good morning. How are you? Everybody doing well? Yeah. I'm glad to have you here in worship today on a special day. Why is today special? It is Mother's Day. And you know what? I know your moms, and I know me, and they're pretty special. Yeah. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that. What are some things, you know, moms have a hard job, don't they? What do moms do? What do your moms do? What makes it so hard sometimes? They make food. That can be hard sometimes. What else? They work, and that can be hard to juggle everything, right? What else? They care for you. You mean you guys aren't easy to care for? Sometimes it can be difficult, right? Sometimes it's a hard job to be a mom when there's so many different people asking different things from you all at the same time. Yeah. Exactly. So there's also, you know, we have the moms that gave birth to us, and those are the ones we definitely celebrate today. And there's also, we have mothers in faith. Do you know what they are? That all of us have in common. Do you know who they are? Any idea? I'll give you a clue. People from the Bible that happen to be women that show us all about God's love and grace. Who are some of those people? Let's just name some. God. Tabitha from our scripture lesson this morning. You're going to hear more about Tabitha in a few. Marley. Mary is another person from the Bible that tells us and shows us exactly. Right. Who else? What are some other mothers in faith? What about Sarah and Ruth and Naomi? There's so many different women in our Bible. And then there's women in faith who have lived a long, long, long time ago, right? There's people like Teresa of Avila, St. Teresa, and Mother Teresa, right? And Julian of Norwich. There's all kinds of women throughout all of these ages who have showed us exactly about God's love and grace. And we celebrate all those women today as well, right? So we celebrate our own moms, and we also celebrate the moms that we all have in our faith that have showed us exactly good things about God, right? And you know what I'm really grateful for today? I'm grateful for your moms because they have helped you in your faith. And so there's something that we could say. What is some, when you're really grateful and you're thankful about something, what is something we say? Thank you. Exactly. And so do you think we could just do a good shout out to all the women who have helped us on our journeys and showed us about Christ and God's love. So on the count of three, I want us to shout, thank you. Okay. Can we do that? One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And also another thing that you can always do for all kinds of special women in your life. Hold on, Zoe. What?
And cards.
And cards. And you could make them cards to say thank you. Yes, that is right. You could do that. It's a good answer, Zoe. Is that we can pray for our moms and pray for women who are wonderful to us, right? So let us say a prayer this morning. Would you join me? God, we thank you so much for this time to worship together. We thank you for all of the different women in our lives. We thank you especially for our moms and for all of the love and care that they have for us and for all of the ways they sacrifice for us. And we thank you also for our mothers in faith who have displayed your love and grace to the world. Help us to tell their stories and to share their stories and be with each of these children as they continue to grow in your grace and in your love. We ask all of this in Christ's name, and all of God's children said, Amen. And friends, I invite all of you to greet one another in the peace and love of Christ. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know.
Our gospel reading comes from Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy and living God, we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit in this place. May it open our ears and our eyes and our hearts, our lives, to what you would have us do. We ask this in your name. Amen. The book of Acts that we just heard read from is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's always seemed relevant to me in the way that is profound and powerful. That's not to say that other parts of the Bible are not as relevant, but the book of Acts tells this fascinating story of what it means to gather together the church and empower individuals to discover their faith amidst this crazy and changing world that we're still a part of. Acts, the book of Acts, is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke, same author. It tells stories upon stories of the early church, stories about what happened immediately following Jesus' resurrection. It shows people, real and normal people just like us, coming together, breaking bread with one another, worshiping God together, asking questions together, doubting together, and deepening their faith together. I think it's this great guide for us, for people of faith on this journey together, of how to gather and live into the mission that God has called us to together. And we have this fascinating story in the midst of it. The story of Tabitha. How many of you have heard the story of Tabitha before? Was this the first, or some of you have heard it before? I asked the same question at the early service, and not a whole lot of people had heard about Tabitha and the story of Tabitha. So I'm really grateful that we have this chance to dig a little bit deeper into this story in particular. So we've got today the story of Tabitha, who's also referred to as Dorcas in the Greek. So this also, the fact that they mentioned both of her names, the Aramaic and the Greek, from what I have read, means that she was well known in her community. Tabitha was sick, and Tabitha died. And when Peter arrived at the house where she was staying, Peter prayed and said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes, and she sat up. If I'm honest, which sometimes I can be a little too honest, I struggle sometimes with some of these resurrection stories. Anyone else? Remember Lazarus? We just talked about Lazarus a few weeks ago. It's hard to believe this. And I think even with the story of Lazarus and Lazarus being brought back to life, I can somehow reconcile that resurrection in my head because it was Jesus, right? Jesus is the one that brought Lazarus back from the dead, right? It was Jesus who performed the miracle, and who am I to argue with Jesus? But this time it was not Jesus who was doing the resurrecting. It was Peter, my favorite, right? I'm going fishing, Peter. Without sufficient clothes, Peter. An ordinary person, kind of like the rest of us. And here again is my stumbling block. How is this story, this powerful story of this resurrection, the story of a woman who was sick and then died and a man who prayed her back to life, how is that relevant in our world? How do we take the story of what we heard today and how does that make sense in the here and the now? So let's talk through the story a little bit. Let's hear about the different characters in the story and try to figure that out together. But I just have to point out, I love when the lectionary, which is the readings that are kind of set in three-year cycles. I love when those readings have a way of fitting in so beautifully sometimes, sometimes not, but sometimes, with what's going on in our secular world and our lives today. And today, a day where many of us celebrate the women in our lives, here we get a closer look at a mother in faith. So first of all, who is Tabitha? Tabitha was one of the pillars of the church, a beloved saint in her community. She was one of the first female disciples in the early church. She ministered to people with her gifts. She was a talented seamstress and made clothing for widows and for children. And she created beautiful things. Beautiful things. Do you know people like her today? There's lots of Tabithas in our midst. She lived her life by showing charity and good works to others, using the gifts that God had given her. Now, it would be easy, and don't get me wrong, it's good to hear Tabitha's story in Acts, and it would be easy to get lost in the wonder in the miracle of her life being restored by God through this ministry of Peter. And this gift is indeed worth remembering, celebrating, because it reminds us that our God is the God of life who has power over death. This is our great good news that we treasure, that love is stronger even than death, that we are freed from this fear of death and freed from the power of sin. That's the power of the resurrection. But, and this is so important, that freedom from sin and death is not just freedom from something. It's to have freedom for something. Freedom for taking risks. For stepping out boldly and using our gifts like Tabitha did. In acts of charity, of generosity, of self-giving love. All for the purpose of reshaping and transforming our world and our lives and the lives of those who surround us into something that kind of looks like the kingdom of God, like heaven on earth, like resurrection, like God's love found in every direction that we look. So as I reflect on Tabitha's story today, as I remember, I can just imagine that whole scene in my head. Can you? I see her body surrounded by those that she loved and who loved her, the saints of God, and amongst them are all the clothes, the beautiful clothes that she has made for the people in her community, her good works, her acts of charity, all the fruit of her labors. I can imagine her fingers probably have sores on them or calluses from all of the sewing. The gift that God gave her, freely shared, freely given, a testament and witness to the sort of life that she lived, using all that God had given her to bless other people as tangible signs and symbols of God's love that fills and sustains us in this life and in the life to come. That's Tabitha. That's what I see in my head. And then we have Peter. The man who prays over Tabitha was the one of the first disciples called by Jesus, now an apostle. He not only was a witness to the miraculous signs of Jesus in this world, but he encouraged people to repent, to be baptized, to believe in the resurrected Christ, and so many people came to faith through him. And then we've got the other disciples in the story. There were the men who ran to fetch Peter, right, when Tabitha died. There were also widows that had been the beneficiaries of Tabitha's charity in this life. And they stood weeping. They were a blessing through their tears, weeping by Peter's side, showing him all of the clothing that she had made for them. Each of these characters in this story responded to the call of discipleship in their own unique and powerful way. Tabitha was a witness to charity and outreach in her life. Peter prayed over Tabitha and inspired healing. Men showed selfless compassion when they ran to find Peter and put everything else aside. Widows gathered around Tabitha's bedside and became a living embodiment of the body of Christ. Each of these people, each of these characters had a different but equally important role to play in God's work in the world. And so do we. Each one of you, each one of us has an important role to play in God's work in the world. Discipleship does not look just like one thing. We can't just like look at one person, we're like, oh, that's it. They're doing it. We've got to be just like them. It looks different for every person, and it looks different for each church. That's what makes the body of Christ so beautiful. In fact, stories like the one we just heard, they shine light on the truth that we are all individually and uniquely called as disciples of Christ to live out the gospel, to gather the church in our generation. We all have gifts. Do you have a gift? Do you have a gift? Yes. Do you know what your gift is? Are you using your gift? Are you using your gifts? That's something that we need to think about a lot. These gifts are inspired and given by God. They are gifts that can help us become the people that we're created to be. Some of us are musicians and some are gifted by that, as evidence of Annalise this morning. That was beautiful, and the choirs, and oh my goodness. So we are musicians, and we are writers, and we are artists. We are builders and caregivers, teachers and athletes. We are community leaders, first responders, advocates, and volunteers. Some of us cook and clean and raise money when someone is in need. We fix things when they're broken. We show love, kindness, in compassion, patience. We shine light in dark places. We make people laugh when they're crying and comfort them when they feel alone. We serve our churches. We get involved in our communities and we care for our families. That's what the body of Christ does when we use our gifts. And that just barely scratches the surface of the different gifts that lie within us. As individuals, we may not do all of these things, although if you do, I want to know who you are. If you could do all of those things, I want to know who you are and have a conversation after. But together, we do them together. As one body, the body of Christ, we do have all of the gifts to transform this world and to do the mission that Christ has called us to do. And God wants us to use these gifts, not only to deepen our faith, but to minister to a world that is so desperately in need of grace. God wants to use these gifts so that we can complement and strengthen the gifts of others. And God wants us to use these gifts so that our generation in this time and place can continue and boldly and prophetically write the Christian story, because it is not finished. We need to use these gifts and allow God to transform them and deepen them into remarkable ministries in our church. We each have a story to tell, and we use our gifts to write these stories. I think all too often we assume that in order to make a real difference, we need to be the best, or do it all, or have the most. But it's not true. We all have within ourselves the ability to live God-sized lives, to have a powerful impact on the world. And we can live out the gospel in our lives and make grace real to a world that needs to see it and experience it. So today, I want you to seriously think about the gifts that you have. What do you enjoy doing? I mean, everyone loves enjoying to do something, right? In what ways are you fulfilled and happy? What is something that you can do for somebody else? Those sound like simple questions, but it might just be that easy. Start there. The early disciples, the early followers of Christ did just that, and friends, they changed the world. Our gifts aren't just hobbies. These gifts are ministries, and these are the ways that God is using you, that God is using us to do miraculous things in the world. So like Tabitha, we all can create something beautiful with our gifts. So let us share the gifts with the world. And today, let us just remember this remarkable woman in faith. Remember her story. Remember her gifts. And as one preacher calls her, Saint Tabitha, the patron saint of textile workers, fashion designers, knitters, and sewers. May we, in this place and beyond, use our gifts as signs and symbols of God's great love that stands behind it all, filling us and sustaining us in this life and in the one that follows. And in our remembering, may we be blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us continue to worship our God by offering our financial gifts. Let us rejoice in what we have to offer.
Shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh
me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the
If you would please join me in the prayer of dedication in your bulletins. God of love, you abide with us. You provide for all our needs and guide us in your ways. Out of gratitude for your care, we bring our gifts before you. Use them for your work of caring, that all may feast at the table of abundance. Walk without fear, and drink deeply from the cup of compassion. Amen. You may be seated. As we enter into this time of prayer, I always like to share that we do have prayer requests that are in the bulletin. And last week there was a few that I missed during service, and they are printed right here on the prayer request part. I think it was Claire Enzer was asking for all the mothers in the world to be prayed for in anticipation of Mother's Day, and so that got in there, as well as Gail Allen for knee replacement and Deb Diaz for knee surgery. And we have another joy to share of a birth, Hannah number two. Hannah Grau was born, and that is the granddaughter of Rob and Barb Grau. And so we are thankful for the gift of new life. As well as Hannah Smith is in church for the first time today. This is her first worship service outside of the womb. So we are so thankful to have her, and congratulations to the Smith family. And I'm sure you probably all saw Hannah as you were coming in. So continued prayers and blessings to you. As well as we have a few more joys to share. You must have had a huge graduating class a few years ago, because there are many people who graduated this weekend. And so I wanted to lift those up as a joy and celebration. And so we have Matt McGregor, who graduated from UB, and Julia Schroth from Temple, Sophie Anderson from OSU, Katie Thomas, University of Pittsburgh, Abby D'Angelo from Clarkson, Connor Moon from the University of Pittsburgh, Dan Kurz, University of Pittsburgh, Alex Knowles from RIT. Those were all of our graduates that graduated just this past weekend. So congratulations to them and their families, and for all the ways that they will use their gifts in this world as well. We also want to hold in prayer the sister of Dale Elgee, who is having a rough time right now. She lives in Canada, and they are traveling to see her. So please pray for Dale's sister during this time. We also want to lift up prayers for Winnie and Earl Adams. I know that they will appreciate, they have appreciated all of your prayers, and especially right now with some transitions that they're going through, please hold them in your prayers daily. I know that will mean a lot to them and make a difference in their lives. Let us just pause in the midst of this day, and let us just be quiet for a moment. And then we will pray together. Oh God, you come to us in the stillness of the day. You come to us in the chaos of the day. You come to us as a mother, as a father, as a parent, as a shepherd. And we come before you today, oh God, as humble servants, as your people, waiting to be filled with your Spirit. We come offering you praise and thanksgiving for all of your grace and love, for all the ways in which we have experienced resurrection in our own lives. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. We especially celebrate the gift of new life among us. We thank you for the gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus. God, we lift up all of the people who are struggling today, people who are sitting next to us in this space, people that we love in different places, and all of your children across the globe. We pray for your comfort, for your healing, for your grace. Lord, help us as your disciples to take risks with the gifts that you've given to us, to minister to the people in our communities and in our world, to see the needs of our neighbors. Guide us and lead us, inspire us and challenge us and empower us through your Holy Spirit to be the church, to be your disciples that transform this world like Tabitha, like Ruth, like Mary, like Sarah. And let us all join together now in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and continues to teach us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, if you would stand for our last hymn. Oh, sorry. Affirmation of faith first. But you can stand for that too.
Please stand for the affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We believe in God,
who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, self and seek others, seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. But you know you wanted to dance. I know you did. Before I share the benediction, I just wanted to say thank you for all of the birthday wishes. Many of you sent me emails and texts and cards and all kinds of things for my birthday this past week and for the girls' birthdays. We had a birthday on Monday with Zoe turned 4 and Karis turned 6 yesterday, and I turned 40 on Wednesday. So we are so thankful for all of the many birthday blessings and different parties and all kinds of things. So thank you.
So as you leave today, friends, may you go knowing how blessed you are and that you are a blessing to this world and you have unique gifts that God has given you. So may you use them in this world so that people will see God's grace and that you will be a light in the darkness. Go in God's grace. Amen.
song. And I remember I played complete random notes for the rest of the song. I didn't even know what I played. I was just kind of putting notes on the piano. And it was